Welcome to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. For the next hour, we'll be your local real estate news magazine. I am Mark Schneidman, your local realtor since 1988 with Coldwell Banker and a Santa Barbara resident since 1977. I'm here with talent on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. We're live Monday mornings at 11 o'clock. Call us at 564-1290, 564-1290. During encore broadcasts, Monday evenings at 9 p.m. and Saturday afternoons at 2 p.m., call me direct at 898-4242, 898-4242, and visit RadioRealEstate.com. As usual, I'll do my weekly multiple listing update, tracking median home price sales weekly, year-to-date, and the current active inventory, all compared to last year's numbers. We'll start right after the news. Good morning, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, our phone number 564-1290, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Okay, what do Alaska, Hawaii, Guam, and the Virgin Islands have in common? If someone waves at me before we take our first break, I'll give you the answer. It's been percolating for quite some time and involves loans. It could save you a lot of money. Today, of course, during the fourth segment, we'll do the weekly multiple listing update, and we'll talk a little bit about condominium median prices year to date, and usually just discuss single family residences. And that's coming up. To start the program, my guest is Judith Ishkanian. And I first met Judith when she actually called in on a program a year ago.
I can't believe it's been that long.
At least.
Maybe longer than that, probably 2 years ago.
And so maybe we'll have a chance to talk about why you called in. But we're going to talk about quite a few things. Judith is involved in a local group that we're going to talk about that's also shifting to a morphing. Well, I don't know if the group itself is morphing into statewide, but there is a statewide group that's kind of encompassing your goals, would we say?
No, I'm president of Homeowner Defense Fund, and we are, it's an offshoot of our group, separate, filing separate papers, separate organization for a statewide coalition of homeowner groups.
Right. In fact, there was a news press editorial giving the website CAL for California
Neighborhoods.org.
So the big overall question of the topic today is trying once again to balance private property rights and while maintaining a community that just doesn't get overrun. It's a tough job. And you guys have started a group. What initiated this group? What spurred it? Its origin, genesis, and
well, the beginning of it happened when three of us got together through networking and a shared concern about the state-mandated housing program that was presented to us and landed on our doorstep and near my neighborhood. And I'm ashamed to say how little I knew about community planning and who does it and about county politics. Zero, even though I consider myself a fairly smart person. I couldn't even find out where the county administration building was, you know, after having lived here since 1961. So I take full responsibility to that. But I found so was everyone else who's a busy homeowner working and raising their families and worrying about tons of things. And so when this state-mandated plan came to arbitrarily rezone an 1.8-acre lot into first it was 20, then down to 16 units, high-density landing in what was zoned not to be. That activated the neighborhood and friends and that kind of thing.
About how long ago was this?
I'm trying to think. It must have been 2002,
okay.
As I recall. Summer, August, yes, August 2002. It took about a year to beat back that particular project, but in the process, many, many people became involved with the process and the larger issues involved. It has long since passed that our neighborhood and my ox is long since not being gored, but the process has become a calling, shall we say, for the time being.
There seems to be a lot of commonality or people kind of circling the wagons
because they don't want the state to knock on our door. It's like our local area and say, okay, now you are going to build or zone, at least. I think technically they're requiring the zoning for said building.
Exactly. Are
there a lot of people in town who are embracing the state and saying, oh, this is great, you know, zone us, let's zone for more housing, more building?
There are advocacy groups who have embraced it, and the county staff, as it was previously organized, embraced it. They had no choice. The county has no choice. I learned, one of the things I learned going to educational meetings held in homes by lovely people who sponsored outside speakers and such, again, I expose my naivete, that counties are simply an agency of the state. They have no being apart from the state.
Try not to expose yourself. This is a family hour. We're trying to do family radio here, please keep it above
themselves. All right. So that is why they had no choice but to, and neither does anyone else living in this area or in the state of California.
And yet I keep reading, to quote Nancy Reagan, just say no. I thought even Sacramento County, ironically, was one of a city. The county actually refused, and they, you know, you suffer penalties, and then there was a lawsuit. I don't really know the upshot, but
I think
some
they
people
lost
are just
that lawsuit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, they did, and mm-hmm. some people just, hey, don't abide by it. I mean, how?
Well, it's easy to say, hard to do. But I would say this: with the entire population of California rather asleep during the impetus of all of this, it's easy to for the few who do embrace state-mandated programs, well-meaning as they are, I might say, very well-meaning, but as a citizen of this county, I would say the farther zoning goes from the local people, the more expensive it becomes, the more bureaucratized they become, and the less it achieves its goals of providing housing. I mean, that's one of the basic forms of people control, is saying where they should live or where they should not live. But nonetheless, in the process of becoming acquainted with this, and I don't think this is off the subject, the Santa Barbara City Housing Authority has a wonderful program for the needy, I might say, the disabled persons and seniors, which you can pass every day along Santa Barbara Street and marvel at how well run that is. My daughter worked with a couple of old gentlemen homes and through the Santa Barbara City Housing Authority, so
right.
I
is
know
that,
how
is
they
that
work.
Rob Pearson? Is that the guy that does that, or is he in the other? I know we've talked about it. I had many programs on it, and there's a tremendous number of units that received neighborhood approval.
That is right.
And density, and
you see, and
rentals,
it's local.
For, yeah.
That is right, and also rental. We haven't even discussed where in all this state mandated housing for the so-called needy, truly needy people should also have access to rentals, you know. And the city of Santa Barbara's done a great job with balancing rentals with housing, and so these edicts that come from the state, and is becoming increasingly large part of the Department of Business, Transportation, and Housing. And housing started out with a $300,000 budget, and now it's a $250 million budget and rising, and they're going to do stuff with it. In all due respect, the mandate means you must. A mandate, you do this, you must do this. And that is, of course, going to get some backlash from citizens who want to control the traditional positing of zoning is counties and cities.
When I first read about your group in local paper, you're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290, and my guest, Judith Ishkanian, who actually used to write a column, a local column, representing Montecito. When I first read the news article on your group, it made note that you were from Montecito, and you had a celebrity, Rob Lowe, who was president, and it had different quotes about how Montecito seems to have escaped housing and affordable housing, where Goleta, you know, people out in Goleta, you know, the dumping ground and out in the county, and they became a city to stop this, and And but yet, Gary Earle, part of another group who is out, not in Montecito, is doing the same thing in another area. So I didn't see it as you being Montecito. I mean, I see it throughout the county, but the article kind of made it sound like you're just some Montecito people who didn't want it in your backyard.
Yes, and glitzy. Of course I am. More even as glitzy as Rob Lowe, haha. Rob Lowe was our first president, and the three of us, Sally Jordan, Rob Lowe, and myself, organized the Homeowner Defense Fund. The fact that we live in the same area, and we're all consternated, shall I say, by the high-density program that I just told you about that was in my neighborhood, that galvanized our community. And we have a very powerful and old, long-standing homeowner association called the Montecito Association. And that became a vehicle for us to get to know each other. Hmm. Also, Laura Blow had very good friends in San Ynez Valley who educated him on this issue. And he became very fired up, beginning from ground zero, too, as we all were. And that brought us into mutual friends and acquaintance. And from that came our meetings, the three of us, and after we decided to file and really get serious, we invited people that we had learned and got to know through the original brouhaha over the high density.
Now, another program. Montecito resident, Dennis Miller, was he involved at all?
No, he wasn't. He has no interest in that kind of thing.
I know he's a buddy of Rob Lowe.
He may be, but he's not has a stated interest not to get involved in such things.
We need to get a hold of Dennis Miller because he did a program on his HBO show. It was centered around real estate. In fact, Rob Lowe happened to be the guest on that show. And they emasculated real estate agents and escrow people and pest people. So I really want to get Dennis Miller on to revisit that issue.
I can assure you that that was before 2003.
I think that Rob Lowe was an unwitting.
I think he's had an epiphany. And for that, I congratulate him. It's not something that somebody like him even needs to take 1 second of his time. He's over in London now doing a play, and he'll be there 7 months or so. And so I stepped up to the plate to be president. But whoever is, we work as a team. There's 8 board members, and our interest is beyond Montecito. I mean, you can't help associating with who you know. But what we learned, in order to educate ourselves, we found that the people in San Ynez Valley and North Santa Barbara there in Goleta were also exercised as we were about the process and the issues. And so that's how we all got together to educate ourselves. And
Judith, take our first break. We'll come back with Judith Ishkanian.
Either way, my column was Judith, or you can call me Judy.
Judy Ishkanian. Well, that would be a little more phonetically doable.
Then do
I'm going to stumble over Judith Ishkanian and Mark Schneidman. A lot of vowels.
All right.
Okay. Our phone number, 564-1290. We'll come back and try to talk a little bit more about the state and a little bit more about perhaps your old column for the News Press. Maybe we can get you back on. And again, just balancing private property rights and trying to maintain a community. Should we just keep building? Should we try to say no to the state mandate and try to fight it? And, you know, it's just density equals, to me, you know, having come from back east, you know, the more people you have, it just, you could just see the tension and the tempers flare with traffic. And it's just, I don't know if it's possible to maintain the community that we have. But we'll talk more about it, 564-1290. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.